Hi, this is Bob Enyart of Real Science Friday. Did you know that you can get all of our shows on CDs? Yes, we have Real Science Friday for 2010, 2011. In fact, you could go back to 2006. Just go to our website, realsciencefriday.com, click on the store, or call us, 800-8-ENYART. And have you seen the best creation DVD yet on the workings of the cell? It's called Programming of Life by Dr. Don Johnson. You'll love it.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm a mere pew warmer at Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview over at theweeklyworldview.com, available on iTunes. And actually, I didn't warm a pew at Denver Bible Church this week, or last week. 2 weeks in a row, I've been out petitioning. I want to thank my friends at Trinity Baptist in Aurora for an awesome Sunday, a good sermon, and a whole bunch of personhood signatures. I hope all you people are out there getting signatures. Bob is, he's on a top secret mission to publicly refute the theory of evolution. Well, that wouldn't be top secret if he was going to do it publicly. Bob is in, I've been told he's either in Indiana, Tennessee, or Kentucky. And so that's why I thought it might be a top secret mission. He's going to go look at some human footprints that are in strata. I said strata. Look it up. These human footprints are in strata that have been dated by evolutionary scientists to the time before man evolved and walked on, feet that made these footprints. And so hopefully he'll have something to report when he gets back. It sounds really interesting. I'm looking at Facebook before I go on the air for no real good reason, which is generally why people look at Facebook. There's just no real good reason. But it is an awesome way to communicate. I'm looking at a post from my friend Kimberly Kay. It's a picture of the marquee outside of Clays Hill Road Baptist Church, parts unknown. Clay Hills Road Baptist Church, the marquee, it says, "Whoever stole our air conditioning units, keep one. It is going to be hot where you are going." Yes, there's been a rash of thefts at churches all over the country. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people hate God. They take it out on the churches. And so someone stole the air conditioning units at Clays Hill Road Baptist Church. And no, we're not going to start a fundraiser. We're just announcing the funny marquee. We think that's pretty funny. Hey, did anybody catch Joel Osteen on Fox News Sunday yesterday? Of course, nobody here. You were all at church. I was at church. But they replay it at midnight at my house. And so we watched Joel Osteen. Anyway, if anyone in the audience watched it, I would love to get your unsolicited comment. No, I guess I just solicited it. So I guess I'd like to get your solicited comment. If you have an opinion on how Joel Osteen did on Fox News Sunday yesterday, please feel free to give us a call. We're at 800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278 from anywhere across the country. What's that? I'm getting a message here. Anyway, if you caught Joel Osteen, please give us a call. 1-800-836-9278. So we had a caller call in, but he's afraid to go on the air. Oh, no, he's not afraid. He's willing to go on the air. Okay. I'll take the call, but give me a second, because I'm soliciting calls right now, because I saw Joel Osteen on Fox. Hey, as long as you're watching, I've got the research department for Bob Enyart Live right here in the bunker. What I'd like you to do, crack research staff, can I get your attention there? He doesn't even look up. It's as if I'm talking. Oh, there, the crack research staff, if you could download Joel Osteen's appearance on Fox News Sunday yesterday, and just try to get a count of how many times he said, "I don't know." I think he said it close to 100 times as he was asked about the cultural, political, social, and religious hot button issues of the day, his general answer was, "I don't have a clue." So anyway, we're gonna try and get a count on that. All right, how many times did Joel Osteen say "I don't know" on Fox News Sunday? And now we're gonna go to the phones. Should we take the bold? No, we're not gonna go to the phones. Let's open up. Oh, we are gonna go to the phones. All right, well, let's go to the phones. Iowa, speak your mind.
Hey, this sounds like Doug.
It does.
Yeah, I listen to the podcast, so I can't listen to it live, but I wanted to call in. My name is Brian.
Yeah, hey, Brian. And
how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, brother. How are you?
I'm better than I deserve.
Yep, me too.
So here's my question. It seems to me when I run into the average person and I talk to them about the pro-life, pro-choice issue, that a lot of them are very confused, and I'm not sure how to deal with it. Like the last lady I talked to, she said, "I am against abortion, but I am pro-choice."
Oh yeah, that's
it. And I thought, lady, you are confused. That's a non sequitur. You can't be both. But her confusion is on when life begins. To me, that's a no-brainer. But you know, these people that you can't even talk to them about whether it's, you know, right or wrong, abortion is right or wrong, but they don't even know when life begins.
Yeah.
And it's like the scientific community knows this, but the average person doesn't know it. Kind of like, you know, how it, same thing in evolution, the kids in the classroom are being taught stuff that's totally opposite of what the scientific community knows. And I think it's the same thing with abortion, but I don't know what to tell these people when they're confusing the most basic matter.
Yeah. Well, Brian,
you know, I use the analogy. I said, well, if I'm going to detonate a building, you know, because it's a safety hazard, and we have to take this building down, and I think there might be people in there, there might not be. Well, you know, you always err on the side of caution if you don't know.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good retort right there. I mean, you could open up with, "Lady, you're really confused." I like that.
Yeah.
And then that's a wonderful analogy. You know, the thing to keep in mind, Brian, when you're discussing the issue of legalized child killing is that at minimum one third of the people you meet have actually participated in it.
Wow.
So it's really hard for them. There's a cognitive dissonance in their own mind because they've either paid for one or encouraged someone to get one, or they've had one, or they've promoted it in one way or another. So the thing about child killing that's so insidious is that the people perpetrating it have gotten almost everyone else involved in it. I mean, at least a third, maybe a half the people you meet have actually participated in it. And so a logical, rational, reasonable discussion with them in order to change their mind is virtually impossible. What we have to focus on is getting them to repent. Because what they're telling themselves, because of their guilt, is that, "I know it's a baby, but I think it's okay to kill it." And that's what I say to people when they say, "Well, you know, I'm not pro-abortion, but I am pro-choice." I say, "So you know that it is a baby, but you think it's okay to kill it? Okay, under what circumstances is it okay?" In fact, I had this conversation with a young man at the Baptist church where I was gathering signatures yesterday for Colorado's Personhood Initiative. I asked him, "Under what circumstances is it acceptable to kill an innocent person?" And he, you know what he said? He said, "You know what? I haven't thought about it. I'm going to step away from this conversation." That's what he said. And I could have pushed it further and really had a confrontation, but I think perhaps the young man, who was probably in his early 20s, I think there's a good chance that he's actually participated in it, and he's looking for some way to ameliorate his own guilt. And when I talk to someone like that, I'm as confrontational as I need to be, but I really try to bring up an issue that will help them confront their guilt. Because so many people have participated in the murder of their own children, children in their family, children of their friends, that there's a tremendous amount of guilt out there, and there's a tremendous need for people to confront that guilt so they can get healing from it, so that they can actually be saved from that guilt. So I don't know if I'm helping you out a lot, Brian. It sounds like you're hitting on all cylinders to me, though. I mean, it sounds like you've got a pretty good argument already. Have we lost Brian? Well, that's unfortunate. Well, you know, the phones out there in Iowa, you know, they're not always that reliable. But, hey, Brian, you know what? You can download the podcast and you can get my advice. But, yeah, I find that when someone holds two contradictory positions in their mind and they try to state it, it's because they've done something themselves that they can't deal with. And you know what they really need? They need to go into a church where a pastor stands up and says, you know, for two generations now, we've been lied to. We've been told that we can kill our children without any guilt and without any consequence. Well, I'm here to tell you there's guilt, there's consequence. And if you've done it, if you've participated, come to the foot of the cross because there's forgiveness and there's healing. But what I notice as I solicit churches around the greater Denver area in the state of Colorado is that a lot of pastors are afraid to bring the issue up. And in my opinion, that disqualifies you as a pastor. If you're afraid to bring up your congregation's need for forgiveness of sin, I don't care what sin it is, you're disqualified. And we need a trap door under most pulpits. And we need one of those big levers that you pull. And the pastor is either swallowed down or sprung out of the church. There's a lot of that going on. I don't know. Those of you in the audience, do you have any better advice for Brian out in Iowa when someone presents this idea that they claim to be pro-choice, but they're against abortion? I think it's because they've participated, they have a lot of guilt, and they don't have a pastor who's helped them confront it and get over it. Because there is forgiveness for even the worst of sins. And child killing is right up there with the worst of the worst. All right, do we want to do any news? Nobody cared about Joel Osteen? Nobody's going to call and give me a review? Anyway, he said, I don't know, to virtually every question he was asked. Whether it was homosexual marriage, illegal aliens, Mormonism. He just doesn't know. The one thing that Joel Osteen is clear on is that he just doesn't know. And yet people keep donating massive amounts of money to him. I find that hard to believe. That might be Bob Enyart's problem. When people ask, that might be why he doesn't have a mansion and a driver and a limousine and a private jet and a diamond mine. Is because when people ask Bob Enyart a question about the crucial issues of the day, he knows, and he says, and it usually makes them relatively uncomfortable. I mean, I can imagine, I can just imagine the same questions from the Fox News anchor. I forget his name at the moment. I don't watch it very often, to be honest with you. But anyway, it's just embarrassing for Christianity in general that Joel Osteen is looked upon as some sort of theological expert or Christian leader. And he really doesn't know anything. That's the only thing I came away with, is Joel don't know. And neither does his wife. I mean, she looked like a deer in the headlights half a dozen times. She's looking at him as if he might have the answer. And he's just shaking his head. No, I don't know. And you don't know. And we don't know. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll do some news of the day. I've got a story here from Fox News regarding the Environmental Protection Agency. Apparently, an EPA official has been, well, he's resigned because of some remarks he made. The fella's name is Al Armendariz. Al Armendariz is his name. And he's described in the Fox News article as a top environmental official in the south and southwestern region. Now, what that means, nobody has any clue what that could possibly mean. It's obviously a patronage job. His uncle is probably tied into the Democrat machine, and he got this job, which has virtually no responsibilities. I mean, nobody even knows what it is. And he's had to, oh, we've got a caller on Joel Osteen. Okay. All right, well, we'll do this. We'll do Joel Osteen. Let's go to Monty in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Monty, speak your mind.
Hello. This is, I don't come to you from a totally neutral perspective. I'm not boasting. It was a horrible experience, but I went to Dallas Seminary.
Oh, is that
I'm
right?
I'm a graduate of Dallas.
Is that right?
I teach ancient Hebrew and Greek up here in a tutorial manner, so I am kind of conservative. probably more so than Dallas. But I saw Joel Osteen, and he's quite the diplomat. You'd think he was running for political office because he would offend people that were looking for meat.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be mean to another man's servant, but there's no, you know, he's lucky if he serves the pablum of the Word of God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's lactose intolerant, as Bob says.
And it's, you know, he took no position either way, and his wife was...
Vacuous. She wasn't all there.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I think she was planning a trip to Nordstrom as the interview was going on, and she was just completely... When she was asked a question, it was literally as if she had been sitting in the dark and someone suddenly shined a bright light on her, and she just looked terrified. Okay, it wasn't just me.
No, it wasn't just you.
I have a bias against Joel, and I have for quite some time, so I thought perhaps my bias led me to be too hypercritical of the performance.
Well, I think that was the key word, is it was a performance.
All right. Monty, hey, thank you. God bless, brother. We sure do appreciate Monty listening to the show. Up there in the wilds of Cheyenne, Wyoming, I just drove through Cheyenne, where gas is $3.49 a gallon. What's up with Cheyenne? I mean, I couldn't live with there with all the wind and all, but boy, the gas is cheap. Okay, so Monty, Joel didn't slip one past Monty, that's for sure, up in Cheyenne. Monty's got his theological ducks in a row, and we're glad to have Monty in the audience. All right, so Joel Osteen, yeah. So my YouTube video of Joel Osteen is just over 93,000 downloads, where I make fun of Joel Osteen and I have him sucked down into hell at the end. Yeah, go to YouTube and just search Doug McBurney, Joel Osteen. And it's a hoot. And click the one that has 93,000, not the one that has 50. Because we want to bump up over 100,000 for my own self-esteem. Because I have self-esteem issues. As most people who go on the radio have self-esteem issues. Yeah, and most of us do. Anyway, let's get back to the EPA. Because Al Armendariz, who has a patronage job at the EPA, he's been forced to resign and may have to get a real job. Yeah, it's scary for Al. He made some comments back in 2010. You've probably all heard this, but I just want to reiterate. He made some remarks to a local Texas government meeting back in 2010, and he relayed to the audience what he described himself as a crude analogy that describes his philosophy of enforcement. Philosophy of enforcement. Now, that's a terrifying idea, that someone who works for the EPA has developed a philosophy of enforcement. That alone would give one trepidation. But listen to what he says. Hey, you know, it's kind of like the Romans used to do. You know, they'd conquer villages in the Mediterranean. They'd go into a little Turkish town somewhere, and they'd find the first five guys they saw, and they'd crucify them. And then, you know, that town was really easy to manage for the next few years. So this is coming from a government bureaucrat with the power to come in and shut down your business. So that's a little scary. But what's creepier to me is the idea of using crucifixion as an analogy ever. I have never been comfortable comparing anything to crucifixion. I mean, I've heard it, you know, in politics. A politician will come on and say, oh, I was crucified in the media, or this so-and-so was crucified, or they're going to crucify him. Anyway, I've just never felt comfortable comparing anything to crucifixion, because I think it might be blasphemous. I could be wrong, but I think it makes light of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I really do. To compare anything that we deal with to crucifixion. It's just my personal thing. I'm not dogmatic. I wouldn't kick you out of church for using a crucifixion analogy. I'm just saying it makes me uncomfortable. I want to go and read from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to silence anyone who would ever dare consider even the possibility of quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Isaiah, in the 52nd chapter, he shall be exalted and extolled and very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. See, that is a prophecy regarding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. And so the crucifixion is just something I've never been comfortable using as an analogy. It's like when I joined a rock and roll band when I was about 22-ish, 21, 22. And the bass player, I went back to the bass player's apartment, and he asked me if I wanted to listen to this Danzig CD. Anybody familiar with Danzig? Look at Pops. Pops has that Danzig tattoo on his shoulder. Cover that up, Pops. Anyway, Danzig was part of what they called pagan rock back in the early 90s. And he showed me the Danzig CD, and he opened the CD cover, and it opened up into an upside down cross. And it had all the pictures of the band members and the blood and fire and, you know, all that stuff. And I said, I don't know, man. I said, I think that's blasphemy. And he said, what's blasphemy? I said, well, an upside down cross, man. He said, no, what's blasphemy? So I had to explain to my bass player what blasphemy was. And I told him I was uncomfortable with it. Now, at the time, I was certainly no Christian. In fact, I was an enemy of God at the time. But the one thing I was uncomfortable with was making God mad. I did believe God existed. But I did not worship him as God. I did not acknowledge him as God. I had not trusted in him to be my savior. And I didn't really put much stock in his book, and I hadn't really read much of it. But I knew one thing. I did not want to make him mad, because I was pretty sure hell was real for some reason, even back before I was theologically sentient. So anyway, this EPA official, he uses the crucifixion analogy, and now he's had to resign. He's going to have to go out and get a real job. So when he's talking in 2010, he talks about the Roman method of crucifixion being analogous to his philosophy of enforcement. But today, he issued a statement, and this is Al Armendariz, by the way. If you go to monster.com, you can find his resume. He issued a statement today. I take great pride in having built a career based on integrity and hard work. These are the principles that guide me personally as well. While I feel there is much work that remains to be done for the people of this country, I've come to the conclusion that my continued service will distract you, Mr. President, and the agency from its important work. He submitted his resignation to be effective on Monday. That's so he can touch up the resume and get it up on Monster and go out and try to find a real job. All right. So that's good news. A bureaucrat has been forced out of the bureaucracy into the cold, hard world of work. He probably won't last 5 minutes. Although he'll probably be reshuffled over to the Chicago office, which, I mean, that's almost analogous to being sent to hell, to be transferred to Chicago. Can you imagine? Oh, man. All right. Now, speaking of Christianity, let's go to Korea. Yeah, I said Korea. It's hard, as you look around in America, in Denver certainly, in Colorado mostly, and certainly in the United States, and the Western world in general, it's hard to find strong Christians standing up, speaking the truth, and challenging the pagans, the heathens, and the filthy, unwashed, unrepentant, hell-bound, lost losers. It's tough. Very few Christians stand up and tell people, you're wrong, you're foolish, you're on your way to hell, you're going to meet God, you're not him, and he's going to judge you. Now, I do that quite often, but it's very hard to find people who do that. But let's go to Korea, a story from the Reuters Wire. A coalition of Christian groups in South Korea have called on pop star Lady Gaga to cancel her concert, saying that it was pornographic and promoted homosexuality, implying that is wrong. Can you imagine the nerve of these people to stand up and call Lady Gaga a pornography and homosexuality promoting pervert and asking her to get out of town? I like these guys. I want to go. If I was going to go to church in Korea, I want to find one of these churches and I want to go. Now, the government there in South Korea has already bowed to public pressure. There's so much pressure from the Christians in Korea that the government is not allowing kids under 18 from attending Lady Gaga's pornographic homosexual, deviant, perverted, disgusting, foul, vile concert. No 18 and under. That's how much pressure the Christians have brought. Yung Jun-hoon, who's a reverend who organized the Civilians Network Against Lady Gaga concert, he issued a statement. He says, some people can accept this as another culture, but its impact is huge beyond art, and it debases religion. He says even adults shouldn't see her performance, which is too homosexual and pornographic. All right. Yung Jun-hoon knocking it out of the park. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen? I don't know how they say amen in Korean, but anyway. If I knew, I would say it right now. I should have looked at that before I came on the air. That way I would have had the... maybe they just say amen in Korea. Yeah, because you know why... by the way, Korea is the second most Christian country in Asia after the Philippines. And this gets back to what I talked about on yesterday's Weekly Worldview regarding why we have lost the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and why we will lose the Middle East to the Muslims, and we probably are on the verge of losing Western Europe to the Muslims, and eventually the Muslims will march up the Hudson River and take Washington, D.C. Oh, it's not. Is it the Hudson? Anyway. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, they'll take New York first, and eventually they'll take the White House. And the reason is because we've abandoned our obligation to promote Christianity around the world. And the reason is we've abandoned Christianity. We're a post-Christian nation. I mean, not my little enclave. The McBurney compound and the bunker here, the Bob Enyart Live Studios bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. We're not post-Christian. But the majority and the elite ruling class, they're all post-Christian. And that's why we're going to lose these wars, and that's why we're going to lose the clash of civilizations that's happening right now between Islam and the rest. Well, Korea is the second most Christian country in Asia after the Philippines, and there's one reason. His name is Douglas MacArthur. That's why. Because when Douglas MacArthur was in Korea and in Japan and in the Philippines, he focused on allowing Christian missionaries to come and promote Christianity. The army helped build Christian churches all across the Philippines and Korea and Japan. And that's why there are enclaves of Christianity in these countries that were completely pagan before the influence of America was foisted upon them by war. And Douglas MacArthur took the responsibility of rebuilding a civilization seriously, and he started it in the churches. He sent missionaries. He built churches. That's why Lady Gaga makes the Koreans sick, because of Douglas MacArthur. Now, was that going too far? Okay, but I think I got my point. So the sponsor of the Lady Gaga concert is the Hyundai card. It's a credit card by Hyundai Motor Company. So I want to ask everyone, if this pig is allowed to perform in South Korea, which I think she's performing tonight, if I'm not mistaken, if this pig is allowed to go on stage in front of God and everybody and promote her vile, disgusting lifestyle that is dangerous and damaging to children and adults alike, I want to call for all my Christian brothers and sisters from where the sun rises in the east and to where it sets in the west to not buy a Hyundai. Okay, I never had a lot of motivation to buy a Hyundai myself, but now I have a lot less. Unless they back out, Hyundai should back out of promoting this disgusting, vile pervert. They're the sponsor. So if she's allowed on stage, please join me in continuing to not buy a Hyundai. I have all these other stories. I'm going to have to come back later in the week. I'll come back and do a show. Good luck to Bob in Indiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, wherever he is. Yeah, he'll be back before you know it. And until then, this is Doug McBurney signing off, reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.
Are you nicer than God? So many Christians today are nicer than God, or at least they try to be. Jesus was often very harsh with his rebukes in the Bible, but many Christians today would say such behavior would not be Christ-like. Bob Enyart teaches from the Scriptures that sometimes being nice isn't loving. Nicer Than God is available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com.